Castle Vecchio's gone one pace, reloaded, joined by Microphone, Brandenburg, and Shadow Hero's getting a late split. Here comes the Hero. Shadow Hero stormed to the front late, and Shadow Hero won the guineas.
Yeah, Shadow Hero in the guineas there. The big news during the week, he's off to Hong Kong for a reported $3.2 million. We're going to have a chat about it today here in the Trainer's Heart. I'm Todd Blum, your host, brought to you by sportsthought.com.au. And we look forward to another big show here in the Trainer's Heart. We thank you for your company. If you've been following the show, if you haven't caught up with the episode so far, go back and have a listen. Some very big names in racing, and it doesn't stop there with Suman Hedge to join me tonight on the line. He's, of course, responsible for bringing Chabot and Django Freeman, two of the most exciting horses on the track at the moment, and both look set for a very, very big spring. On top of that, we're going to have a bit of a chat about Shadow Hero. He's off to Hong Kong. We're going to talk about some of the other horses that have gone, and not only the ones that have gone to Hong Kong, but the three-year-olds that are off to stud. It's going to leave a pretty big hole in the three-year-old ranks that are going to go on to be four-year-olds in the spring, but we're not too worried about it because some of the horses that are staying, there's some very, very big names. If you haven't already, give the show a subscribe. We're on iTunes and Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Give a follow and a subscribe there. Give us a 5-star review if you can too. It's greatly appreciated. It just helps us grow the show and get the show out there, continue that listener base. And as we said in the first episode, this show, it's not just about the racing enthusiast. It's about getting everyone involved, someone new to the industry, a little bit interested, where they just have a little bit of a bet on the weekend and want to know more about it. That's what we're all about here in the Trainer's Hut. So let's get stuck into episode 4. As I said off the top, the big names don't stop. Suman Hedge joining me on the line just in a moment. Of course, started Suman Hedge Bloodstock in 2018, going out on his own after spending a lot of time there at Woodside Park in Victoria, working for some syndication companies, and he's spent a lifetime in the racing and breeding industry. He's raced horses such as Zoostar. He was responsible for the purchase and racing a Zoostar. Triple Honor was a horse that he bred, and a very well-known horse there, and a number of other stallions, including Written Tycoon, deals being brokered by the man himself. We're very excited to have him on the show. And joining me on the line now in the Trainer's Hut is Suman Hedge, joining me on the road from the Hunter Valley. Thanks for coming on the show.
That's a pleasure.
Obviously, two of the most exciting horses and talked about horses at the moment on the track. You're responsible for bringing them into Australia. We, of course, talk about Django Freeman and Chabot. Just before we get into the horses individually, tell us a bit about the process the Bloodstock agent goes through when they're sourcing horses like these from overseas.
Yeah, so it's an interesting process. I guess the first thing that we endeavour to do is keep an eye on the form overseas. So we're constantly watching racing and replays of races all around the world, particularly from Europe. And it is quite time consuming because they're obviously run at odd hours, and sometimes you've got to record the vision and watch through it. And that's the first step. So then you watch it and you see horses that you like. And then we've got people throughout the world, other agents and other people there that are able to contact the owners and let them know if we're interested in a horse to find out, first of all, whether they're for sale, and then we sort of come up with a price that we think is appropriate, and obviously they have to accept that. So that's pretty much the process that's involved in securing overseas racehorses.
And I imagine it can get pretty stressful at times and dealing through three-way conversations from the other side of the world.
Yeah, it can be. It is very stressful because there's a lot involved. The people that own the horses, just like over here, they're attached to them, and often they've bred those horses, so they've got a connection. It's human nature. Whenever someone comes and offers you money for something, you often think that it's worth more, or it must be worth something. So it can be complicated, and the valuation often not what we think that we should be paying, like they're charging a premium for. So we just have to find a happy medium and try to get the deals done.
And both of these horses were sourced from Germany. There's been a bit of recent success in the Melbourne Cup with horses such as Protectionist and El Mandan. Was that the reasoning behind focusing on Germany, or is it just that these two horses were on your radar and it just happened that way?
No, it was definitely a factor to target Germany, because I think we've found over the last 10, 15 years that a lot of the staying bloodlines have been bred out, and that's not just here in Australia. That's throughout the world, in a lot of the racing centres like the United States and even in parts of Europe, a lot of the really dour staying bloodlines are now no longer there. So we tend to see in Japan and Germany are two countries where they've really focused on staying pedigrees and tried to protect those bloodlines as much as they could.
Yeah.
But it's quite difficult to buy from Japan because their prize money is so good. But they, and the people that are owning the horses there, they don't need to sell. Whereas in Germany, they've got the bloodline, but the prize money's just not there. So where we race for very good money, we're able to put together pretty competitive offers. And certainly what Australian Bloodstock did with Protectionist and other horses that have come from that that jurisdiction and raced really well in Australia was definitely influenced us to focus on that country.
We'll start off with Django Freeman, who made his Australian debut on the weekend, ran very well, finished third over a mile for Robert Hickmont, who trains both these horses we're going to have a chat about. Now, interestingly, I discovered that the syndicate purchased him at the end of his two-year-old year and left him over there in Germany for his three-year-old season. Can you tell us a bit about the decision process with that?
Yeah, so with Django Freeman, we were actually looking at another horse and had watched some videos and in watching those videos, we saw Django Freeman, and through Holger Faust, the German bloodstock agent that I predominantly deal with, I'd made an inquiry and said, "Oh, what about this horse that won the race?" And he knew the owners there, one of the owners was, you know, very keen to hold on to his equity, loved the horse, and the other owner also loved the horse, but he just was quite keen to do some trading. So we orchestrated a deal where we could keep them happy, and that was to keep the horse there until the German Derby, and then at the conclusion of the Derby to bring it over to Australia and race together here. And so it was a win-win for their owners, because they were able to hold on to the horse, race for the Derby, which is like their Melbourne Cup, and it was also interesting for them to race in Australia beyond that. And for us it was terrific, because we were able to take owners over to Germany, and within three starts they had a horse running in a Group 1 in one of the, you know, most important classic races in Europe, you know, in terms of derbies.
Yep.
And then bring the horse over to Australia and have him race locally. So, yeah, it was a very good process, and the owners really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they definitely had a very good run after buying into him with the Group 3 win, and then a runner-up in a Group 2, and then, like you say, running a huge race in the German Derby. He's had plenty of time to acclimatise in Australia. Of course, he suffered that slight hyperextension last prep. How did he come through the run on the weekend?
Yeah, he's come through the run really well. You know, we obviously were, you know, after he sustained that chip last spring and had to have that removed and have some time off, we were very wary about and guarded about his future, because it's never a nice thing to happen, and it's something that can reoccur in horses. So this preparation, Rob's been, you know, very conservative. He hasn't rushed the horse. He's done everything he can to build the horse's resilience and strength. And, yeah, he came through that race on Saturday really well. He's been bedded out and he's sound. So hopefully that'll continue. You know, you never really know these things. All you can do is you know, protect yourself as much as possible. So we're doing everything within our means to do so, and I think if the horse stays sound, we'll have a bit of fun with him.
And he's right at the pointy end of Melbourne Cup markets. What's his main spring goal shaping up at this stage?
I don't think we've really got to a stage where we're thinking about spring goals. I think every owner dreams about having a runner in the cups and having runners in the Cox Plate and things like that. But honestly, when you just come back from a reasonably significant injury, I think the most important thing is just keeping him sound and trying to win a race.
Yeah.
First and foremost, and you then just keep building from there. So he's going to have a pretty light autumn or winter. He might just have one more start or two max, and then he'll have a short break and let up into the spring. But we're just taking it. Sounds cliche, but one run at a time, because as soon as you start getting ahead of yourself, then invariably things go wrong, and then, you know, it just leads to disappointment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just before we move on to Shibau, he's a horse that I've been following very closely since the news that he came to Australia, because Campanologist, his sire, ran in the 2010 Melbourne Cup, and I thought he was a very good chance in the Melbourne Cup, Campanologist.
Well, Campanologist was the horse that ran all around the world. If you have a look at his record, he ran in quite a few different countries. And look, he wasn't a world beater, but he was a good, consistent staying horse and a tough horse. And one of the things with Django Freeman is that he's got the demeanour of a, you know, kid's pony. He's a really gentle, sweet horse, but he's very resilient. And even on Saturday, I think, you could see that his run had kind of ended at the top of the straight. He was starting to fatigue, but then he just found some more courage and kept biting on. So I think that's come from his sire, Campanologist, who he unfortunately died prematurely at the start. I think he only had a couple of crops before he passed, and he didn't really get the opportunity to show whether he'd make a nice stallion.
I think he'll shape as a really nice broodmare sire, especially over there in Germany. Like you say, their style of racing and the bloodlines, he's one that matches up pretty well with some of the stallions he's got over there at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's there's no doubt that those really good stout staying bloodlines, they just seem to work over there. So I'm sure he'll make an impact.
We'll move on to Shibau now, Suman, and he had a bit of a setback of his own last year after going 3-for-3 in Australia.
His was very unfortunate, because we brought him over. We paid pretty significant money for the horse, the non-stakes winner, but he'd won on the German Derby undercard race and won it really impressively. You know, he just gapped them, and we thought, we've got to just get this horse and be fairly aggressive. And we brought him out, and three starts at Flemington and won them all very impressively and was undefeated. And unfortunately then he did a suspensory. And it was not a massive lesion, but it was significant enough where he had to have a long break. And I think he had, 14 months off in between runs. So it was really gutting for all of us owners, because we thought, here we go, we've got a stayer and we can run in the Melbourne Cup, and had all these sorts of dreams and hopes for the spring, and everything just went pear-shaped. So, it was good to be able to get him back to the races, and we thought his run was quite creditable resuming the other day.
Yeah, he certainly looks like a horse with a very bright future. He's sort of been touted as a Bart Cummings horse to try and get his way into the Melbourne Cup. With the programming talk about the Spring Carnival and the races, and they might change, will the Melbourne Cup remain his goal?
It's definitely a goal for him, because we think that the horse has very good staying ability. But once again, because he's coming from really, really significant injury, and he's not qualified, you know, like he's going to have to definitely that the Bart Cummings would be an attractive race to aim towards. But we'll just have a fairly open mind to it, and if he's shaping up and looking like he'd be competitive in races like that, we'll head towards it. Otherwise, the good thing about the spring is that there's so many different options for you. You've got all country cups and things like that. So, we'll play it by ear with him. But that certainly does seem to be a good aspirational race because it gets him in and you can protect your handicap. And he should get a pretty favourable handicap this year.
Yeah, exactly right. And like we alluded to earlier, it's a path that Rob used with Al Mandon, who, of course, was successful a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Rob's obviously, he's a terrific trainer. He doesn't have the profile that he should have for a dual Melbourne Cup winning trainer because, obviously part of the Williams team. But he's a very astute trainer. He's very patient. He's also a terrific bloke. You know, all the owners love him. He's very personable. And his communication to the owners is second to none. So everyone who's involved in both of the horses is really enjoying the experience.
That's excellent stuff. And Suma, just before I let you go, you've worked for some of the leading stud farms in Australia. You've been involved with a couple of syndication companies and since gone out on your own and your own banner for Bloodstock. So you've been looking at horse flesh for a long time. The recent news during the week of Shadow Hero getting sold to Hong Kong, just what is it about the Australian horses that the Hong Kong market loves so much?
Well, I just think that, we're a jurisdiction where they had to buy all their horses from outside in Hong Kong because they obviously don't have a breeding industry, and they've had far more success, purchasing from Australia and New Zealand for their market. I think our racing's quite similar, and our horses are tough, and they've got to have a really good temperament to cope with the Hong Kong environment, just with the temperature and the confinement and things like that. So I think that's one of the reasons why they so aggressively pursue our horses, because if you have a look at their feature races and over a number of years, the Australian bred and New Zealand bred horses have featured. So I think that's why they do that. And they obviously have like a very buoyant industry there with really high turnover and high net owners as well, so they can afford to pay a premium if they want something. And it's very tempting for owners in Australia and New Zealand, because even though our prize money in Australia is very good, when you've got a gelding and it doesn't have much commercial upside and people are offering you upwards of $1 million, $2 million and more, then, it's difficult not to accept those types of offers when they're there. And that's invariably what happens.
I think you're exactly right there. And as you said earlier, if someone comes with an offer and you think it's worth a little bit more, the Hong Kong market generally says, you know what, okay, we'll just put a little bit on top of it. So it makes it very hard to resist.
Yeah, it does. And we don't really have that same competition for our horses from Europe or from North America or Japan, like the major jurisdictions. They've got their own horses. And sometimes, in terms of breeding stock and that, they certainly feature. But with our race horses, the main interest seems to come from Southeast Asia, and Hong Kong's the strongest of those markets. So that's why we tend to do quite a bit of business there.
Well, Suman, thank you very much for joining me in the Trainer's Hut, and I certainly wish you all the best coming into the spring and the future, not only with the two horses we've mentioned, but the rest of the acquisitions and, of course, a couple of mares and stuff coming into the breeding season.
Not a worry. Thanks for having me.
Suman Hedge there in the Trainer's Hut, and it's a couple of very good points he brought up there at the back end of that conversation. Of course, one of the most respected bloodstock agents in the game. And Shadow Hero, well, we set off the top, $3.2 million reported sum to continue his racing career in Hong Kong. And we know he was owned by Hong Kong interests, but with the coronavirus pandemic and travel restrictions looking set for the next couple of years at least, it's going to be a lot more difficult to travel and the like. So he's taken up an offer. It was said by Mark Newnham that There were offers coming just about every week for this horse. We know how good he was. The 2019 Spring Champion Stakes, he was favourite for the VRC Derby off the back of that. And then this year, the 2020 Guineas, we heard off the top there. He won $1.5 million in prize money. And he was going to be set for the Cox Plate, now going to be set for the Hong Kong Derby. And David Hayes is going to take over the training of Shadow Hero. So David Hayes, of course, we know he's going back to Hong Kong. He's building himself a nice little stable there, a couple of very, very big horses. And this one was by a loyal client of Lindsay Park and said, if David's going back over to Hong Kong, I want to support him as best I can. So he's added Shadow Hero to the stable there. So it's getting very, very exciting for David Hayes to get back over to Hong Kong, where we know he's had so much success. Sweetbriar Equine were the owner. They purchased him for $260,000 out of the Newgate draft, bred by Greg and Donna Kolovos, of course, of Piero fame. Right amongst the leading breeders of the country. So they've had another one here. He's a two-time Group 1 winner, and no one's going to take that away from him. And hopefully he shapes up nicely overseas and gives them a real sight in the Hong Kong Derby. And we know Piero, the sire of this fella, has already had a Hong Kong Derby winner. So for people sending a mare to Piero, there's another market opening up again for him. A couple of others that have already been announced that they're going to Hong Kong as well. We have Chenny Air, who's heading to the Casper Founds Yard. It was done a little while ago, so you might be across it. He was looked a very smart two-year-old, Chenny Air, from the Cadolphin stable. An injury kept him out of his spring three-year-old season, so he sort of snuck under the radar there, coming back as an autumn three-year-old in the CS Hayes. He ran very, very well in there, finished third, got held up in a bit of traffic, and they still believe that if he got clear, he would have given him a fair sight. And he was a little bit of a smoky, I think, for the Cox Plate a bit later in the year. And as all of this unraveled and it was sort of, thought of that horses from overseas wouldn't be contesting the Cox Plate this year, he was one that I had just kept safe. Eric the Eel, he's another one that he's shown a lot in his three-year-old career. We know he ran very well in the Australian Derby up there in Sydney. And he's going to be heading to the Danny Shum Yard to continue his racing. He was sold in what was to believe the high six figures. Chenny Air was believed to be the seven figures. So talking big money here, and as we said with Suman, they have the capacity to do so, and when you're getting offers up around that sort of money, it's very, very hard to say no. So Eric the Eel is by Olympic Glory, very well named. There was a story that they tried to name him Usain Bolt, but it was already taken. So Eric the Eel was what he was called, and it's a very, very good name as well. We're going to miss the commentators saying that name, but it's a great story in itself because he was purchased for $7,000 on a bit of a whim by Stuart Kendrick and Neil Douglas, and they had a really good group involved in racing him. And interestingly, they said that he probably would have, it might have only delayed the sale, but he would have continued his racing in Australia if the Queensland Derby was on. So again, as we said with Shadow Hero, just circumstances of this COVID-19 pandemic just creating a bit of unusual terms here. And it's not to say that if he had ran well in the Queensland Derby that the offer wouldn't have came again and probably been a little bit more just to get it done. So it's only probably prolonged the inevitable. We'll talk about some of the horses at stud now and add to that Castle Vecchio, Super Seth, Cosmic Force, Exceedance, Dubious, I Am Immortal, Microphone, Yes, 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 and Alabama Express. Now, they're the three-year-olds that will not be fronting up to the races as a four-year-old. The horses I've just mentioned, well, they're off to stud. They're going to start the next phase of the career, and as stallions, they have that luxury. The geldings, not so much, and as Suman alluded to a little earlier, the commercial value for a gelding is not quite there, so these big offers, they're hard to ignore, but there's a lot of talent there that is going to stud, but I just want to touch on a couple of the horses that are staying. And we've spoken a lot about Russian Camelot on this show. If you're not up to date, episode 2, we spoke a lot about him and Warning. Quick Thinker, who won the Australian Derby, is still in training. Bivouac, well, he's going to win the Everest this year. And Dalasan, we spoke a lot about as a Cox Plate type horse. So although there's a few horses that are going to be missing, coming into the four-year-old year, there's still plenty of talent there, and that's just talking about the boys, not to mention Colette and Toffee Tongue. So there's plenty of talent still on the track as a four-year-old. So we're definitely looking forward to getting through this winter period and starting to get into the spring when the red-hot action starts. That's it for episode 4 of In the Trainer's Hut. Thank you very much for listening. We are, of course, brought to you by sportthought.com.au. If you haven't subscribed to the website, jump on and have a subscribe. There's a couple of other podcasts that are available on the website. There's a sports blog there as well. An interesting read from an article that I had written back in 2013, sent into the Winning Post about I'm Invincible, one from the vault. Jump on and have a look, and a couple of thoughts that I had back in 2013 that in time have turned out to be, well, pretty relevant. So jump on the website, have a look. Twitter, if you want to get in touch with us, any comments on the show, the handle is at Toblum Bloodstock, and Instagram and Facebook, you can search for Sport Thought and you'll see us there. As I said earlier in the show, if you haven't subscribed already, jump on the Spotify, give us a follow or subscribe on Apple iTunes. It just helps us grow the show. And if you are that way inclined, show a friend or two and let them know what we're about here in the Trainer's Hut. It's good to see everyone getting involved. Thank you very much for joining me. I'll see you next week in the Trainer's Hut. I'm Todd Blum. See you next time.